Colossians chapter 1, page 1263 in your Scofield Bible, beginning with verse 24. We'll read through verse 29. The 27th verse is the text verse, and we'll read these verses responsively. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29, page 1263. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And let's pray.
Appropriate song for a Sunday morning sermon. There are many of you that is your testimony this morning. Will continue to be as I bring the message. And I do hope that you'll have a wonderful rest this morning. And it's been one of those mornings, hasn't it? And may I just read for you this verse, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles. Now, mystery in the Bible is something that hitherto had not been revealed, that is now being revealed. Something that has not yet been uncovered, the truth has not yet been uncovered, that is at the time uncovered. And so he says, this mystery among the Gentiles. And what is this mystery? He said, this is it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the hope of whose glory? The hope of whose glory? Let me tell you a mistake that we make that is all too tragic, I think. And that is, we seem to relate all Scripture to how it affects us and our benefit. I think we make a mistake of misunderstanding most of the Bible. When everything we read in the Bible, we simply relate it to what it means to us. I doubt very seriously if there is much difference in the philosophy of the heathen world that says what's in it for me and the philosophy in the Baptist church. We read our Bible saying, what's in it for me? We come to church saying, what's in it for me? I'm not trying this morning to refute that, but I am trying to tell you that most of the Bible is not written for you. And most of the things that God has done, he didn't do for you. Most of the things God did for himself. For example, we talk about how good God's forgiveness is. And we ought to. It's wonderful to be forgiven of sin. It's a wonderful thing. But do you know the Bible rarely ever says that God forgave us for our sake? You'll read again and again in the Bible that God forgives us for his own sake. Why? Because God wants us back. God loves us. And God wants us. So God's primary purpose for forgiveness is for his own sake. Now, that doesn't mean that forgiveness is not secondarily for our sake. Of course, God wants us to have the joy of forgiveness. But somehow, we get forgiven for a sin, we never think about God. We think about how good we feel. What's in it for me? What do I get out of it? But the honest truth is that God, the Bible, over and over again, says he forgives us for his own sake. Why? God does not want fellowship broken with you. And if that fellowship is broken, God wants that fellowship restored. And God dead sure wants that fellowship restored more than you do. God wants you more than you want God. So, the main reason God forgave you was for His own sake. Let me illustrate again. Let's take the cross. You've heard me say this many times in these almost 29 years. Christ did not die primarily for you. Don't misunderstand me. He did die for you, but that's not the main reason Christ died. Christ died for God. Christ died so God could take us back. Man is a sinner. Man chose to sin. Man chose to turn his back upon God. Now, who wants that relationship restored the most? A loving, pure, holy, just, righteous, merciful, gracious God, or a dirty sinner like you and me? God wants that done most. So, Jesus died on the cross for us, but that's a secondary thing. He died primarily for God. So God could take us back and still be righteous and holy. Let's take the matter, illustrate with the matter of the second coming of Jesus Christ. We think often about the second coming, and we sing, and we ought to. Nothing wrong with this. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me and for you. Are we saying, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus? Life's trials will seem so small when we see Him. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So I'll gladly run the race till we see Christ. Now, all of that concept, and there's nothing wrong with it, it's just not the holiest concept. All of that concept is this. Jesus is coming to make me happy. But the main reason Jesus is coming is not for you. The main reason He's coming is that He may get the glory He rightly deserves. He'll be crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He'll rule and reign the whole world, and He'll be the Lord and the King of glory of the whole world. Now the main, sure, He's coming so I'll be like Him. I'll get to see Him. I won't suffer anymore. I won't hurt anymore. I won't sorrow anymore. I won't weep anymore. I won't pain anymore. Life's problems will be laid down. And that's wonderful. But that's not the big thing. The big thing is that the Jesus who was hated shall be honored. That's the big thing. He who was nailed to a cross shall reign on a throne. He who was crucified shall be crowned. That's the main reason He's going to come. Somehow we've missed the main point of the whole Bible. We only selfishly relate the Bible to what it does to us and what it means to us and what we get out of it. But brother, why don't we stop to think what God gets out of it? That's what it's all about. God wasn't made to glorify us. We were made to glorify God. God wasn't made for the praise of our glory. We are made for the praise of His glory. Let's take the matter of prayer. What a wonderful thing, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all, get this now, make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, that's my grief, my soul has often found relief, that's my relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare, that's my escape, by thy return. With our prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that's sinful. I'm saying it's not the holiest reason to pray. The holiest reason to pray is God wants to hear from His kids. God wants His young'uns to talk to Him. God wants His kids to need Him. God wants His kids to ask Him for things. I'm saying that prayer certainly is for us, but not primarily for us. Prayer is primarily for God. Take the matter of heaven. Oh, I'll be so glad when I get to heaven. I won't have lumbago anymore, and I won't have arthritis anymore, and I won't have bursitis anymore, all rest of those itis boys. I mean, I won't have all that stuff anymore. Oh, my soul, I'll be so glad to get to rest. But the truth, and that's good. That's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, and He is doing it for us. But let me tell you something. Are you listening to me? Let me tell you something. It's time the Church of Jesus Christ to realize it's our job to exalt the Savior. That's what it's all about. I've said so often in this pulpit, I feel so sorry for God. We've missed the main purpose of all the Christian life. We relate every scriptural truth to us and what we get out of it. Now, our text. Christ in you. Now, hear me carefully. Follow me carefully. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, once again, we're going to look at that. We're going to think about our glory, right? Because every scripture we read, we think of what's in it for me. Okay? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Or Christ in me, the hope of glory. Whose glory? Mine? That's not what it's talking about. I'd love to someday see some mature Christians. Before I die, I'd like for somebody to pray for something except that cute little boy in the third row. Or a date with that pretty girl that sits in front of the class. Or that dress that's in the window at JCPenney's. I'd like to find a group of Christians that come to God in prayer so God, realizing God is happy because we're coming. I'd like to someday see a group of Christians that look for Jesus to come, and the first thing they don't think about, I think about it, is not, what am I going to do, and I won't hurt anymore, and I won't pain anymore. I'd like to see a group of Christians, every time the second coming of Christ is mentioned, their hearts begin to pound with praise. Why? Because he who was hated shall be honored and glorified. And that's the main reason why we ought to want him to come. But we're light years from that. Light years from it. Most of us only think about prayer like you think about Aladdin's lamp. Or rabbit's foot. I'd love to someday see a group of Christian people who realize the purpose of the Christian life is that Jesus Christ might be glorified. I'd like to see you want to go to heaven because he himself will be crowned as King of Kings. I'd like to see you want him to come again the second time. Secondly, for your own praise and for your own relief of pain, and so forth, to get to see your loved ones again. But mainly, I'd like to see you want him to come again, because when he comes again, nobody is going to curse him, and they won't have the dirty, filthy, rotten music that'll profane his name, and the Madeline Murray O'Hares will all be in hell, and they won't be there to take his images off of our public places, and he won't be smeared, and his name will be in the schools again, and his book will be in the schools again, and prayer will be in the schools again, and he'll be honored. That's why, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him as Lord of all. God, give us a generation of Christians to whom Jesus is the one who means everything. Now, the purpose of Colossians, anybody that knows it, knows Colossians is not written to tell us of our glory. The people at Colossae were worshiping angels. And the apostle writes the book to tell them how much better Jesus is than what they're worshiping now. And the entire book of Colossians is concerning the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Now, listen carefully. Here's the sermon. The entire book of Colossians is to teach us of the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Ushers, help the folks back here quickly. Give me an usher back here. Folks are coming in, need a seat. And so, it's to tell us of the preeminence of Jesus Christ. So when he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, ladies and gentlemen, he's not talking about Christ in you, the hope of your glory. He's talking about Christ in you, the hope of his glory. Let me read some verses to you. You don't have to turn to it, but listen, I'll just read you the verses a little while ago. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind the affliction of Christ, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages, from generations, but now is made known to his saints, to whom God would make known, that's talking about Jesus, God will make known, what is the riches of his glory, the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This whole little book is written to tell us that Jesus is wonderful. This whole little book is telling us that Jesus is preeminent. So when he talks about the hope of glory, what's he saying? He's saying the only hope that Jesus has in this age for glory is for you to let Him dwell in you. What He's saying. He's not talking about your glory. He's talking about His glory. Let me tell you, I'll tell you what He's saying. He's saying, I want to be glorified. In Hammond, Indiana, in 1988. I want to be glorified in Chicago, Illinois, and Calumet City, and Lansing, and Crown Point, and Highland, and Munster, and Gary, and East Chicago, and Chicago Heights, and Highland, and Griffith, and Sherrillville, and Merrillville, and Cedar Lake, and St. John. Jesus says, I want some glory there, but the only hope I have is if God's people let me work through them. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let me tell you what He's talking about. He's talking about a fella sitting back here somewhere, I think I saw him this morning, named Monty Watts. A fella reared in an iron lung, spent most of his life, childhood years, in an iron lung. Walks with a limp. Walks with a cane. Jesus is saying, if that man will yield himself to me, he can bring glory to my name. He's saying, Christ in Monty Watts is the hope of glory. If a crippled fella whose life was supposed to have been taken many years ago and probably will be taken before his normal lifespan now, if somehow that crippled fella can be filled with the glory and fullness of Christ, that will bring me glory. He's saying, when a fella crippled for life, like Ken Smith, probably will be in a wheelchair before long. When that little fella, all of his life, unable to get around, and all of his life, a reproach at the kids, and the object of ridicule with the children on the playground. And yet he says, I won't quit. I'll keep on going. I'll let Christ use me. And gives that twisted leg and that twisted body to Jesus Christ and says, Jesus, come and love through me. Come and live through me. Come and forgive through me. Come and work through me. And God is saying, that is the only hope of glory. Now listen to me. Our great God who made us needs us. Our great God who feeds us needs us. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Our great God who clothes us needs us. Our great God who gives us the air we breathe needs us. In God's name, why don't we make ourselves available? He's saying, I need you. My glory depends on you. God has no our hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men to His way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men that Christ died. He has no help but our help to lead men to His side. We're the only Bible this careless world will read. We're the sinner's gospel. We're the scoffer's creed. We're the Lord's last message written in deed and word. What if the line is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other works than His? What if our feet are leading where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things that Christ would spurn? How can we hope to aid Him and hasten His return? Bless God, He's saying He needs these hands. Take them. Take them. Take them. Take them. If these hands can bring you any glory, Christ, come in these hands and get glory. He needs this body. Take it. Take it. He needs this heart. If this body and this heart, if these feet can bring any glory to you, if this mind can bring glory to you, take it, God. Take it, God. Use it. You deserve the glory. I don't. You deserve the praise. I don't. You deserve the honor. I don't. The great God of glory and King of kings and Lord of lords, the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God of gods, and Creator of the universe comes and says, I have limitless glory, but I have no way to show it. I have limitless honor, I have no way to show it. I need you. I need you. For what? Let Christ live through you. Let His love show through you. Let His mercy show through you. Let His kindness show through you. Let His forgiveness show through you. Why? God looks down with His hands tied, a helpless God, and says, there's one thing I can't do. I can make the sun rise in the morning and set on time in the evening. I can hold every star where it ought to be and put it right in place in the sky. I can feed the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea and the beasts of the field. I can hold the universe in place. But there's something I can't do. I cannot show my glory to human beings. And my only hope is for you to let Christ live through you. What's He talking about? He's talking about when a bus kid can come on one of our buses and grow up in our Sunday school here in our church, become a teenager, go to City Baptist High School, struggle his way through, get up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning to catch a bus to get out here, a 2-hour drive maybe to City Baptist High School from North Chicago, go to school all day and get home in time to work until midnight and get up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning after a few hours sleep and do the whole thing over again and do it for 4 years. Then that little kid comes and says, Brother Howells, I'd like to go to Howells Henderson College, and by hook and by crook and by a miracle, that little kid goes to Howells Henderson College. And that little kid gets his degree from Howells Henderson College, and then today out on a mission field somewhere proclaiming the message of redeeming grace to people just like I'm doing here this morning. God says that gives me glory. That's my only hope of glory. Oh yes, someday is going to come again, but not today. Today you're his only hope of glory. I don't understand this. I just don't understand this. Looks like we ought to trip over each other for God to use us. I mean, all we're concerned about, let's get more money in the bank. And let's put more money. And let's put more money. And let's get a bigger house and a bigger car and better furniture and more things. We want this and we want that. And even relate the entire gospel and the entire Bible to what it does for us. Well, bless your heart, there's a God up there. He deserves glory. We even read a verse like this and think it pertains to us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we say that means that if I let Him come in me, I'll get glory. Let me tell you, there's not one place in that Bible says you're supposed to get any glory. Not one place in that Bible that says any sinner, wicked sinner, deserves any glory. But there is one who deserves the glory. My Bible says one of these days we'll be crowned for our rewards. You say, what are you going to say about that? We get rewards. Let me tell you why we're going to get rewards. As soon as those crowns are placed in our hands on our head, the Bible says we'll take them off. And we'll hurl those crowns at Jesus' feet. And we'll say, dear Jesus, this crown I got for soul winning, I couldn't have won a soul without you. You deserve this crown. This crown I got for suffering, I wouldn't have had the grace to suffer without you. You take this crown. This crown I got for faithfulness, I wouldn't have been faithful without you. And we'll hurl our crowns at Jesus' feet. And the Bible said we'll say blessing and honor and praise and power and glory be unto Him that sits on the throne. Christ in me, the hope of His glory. Not the hope of my glory. The only reason God ever made me in the first place was so somebody would glorify Him. And the reason God saved me and redeemed me from my fallen nature was that God might have a people, a peculiar people, for His own good pleasure, for the praise of His own glory. You know what honors God? A country boy named Lester Roloff, when he's just a lad, gives his life to preach the gospel and takes off for Baylor University. Takes his cow with him. That's not a synonym for the word wife either. Takes his cow with him. Lester Roloff walked up on the campus of Baylor University leading his cow and milked his way through college. And then became the great defender of the faith That's what brings glory to God. And God says, I have no way in the world. I don't have any hand with which I can feed hungry people. I don't have any tongue on earth with which I can tell the goodness of the great glorious gospel in God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I don't have any feet on earth to take the truth and the message to people without Christ. So God comes along and says, on the hope of God. To me, I can't think of anything more pitiful. God says, the only hope I've got is you. Let me use your body. I have no tongue on earth. Can I use yours? Listen, I can stand right here and teach my Howells Anderson College preacher boys class on a Saturday night. Brother, I can stand up here and I could say I need a certain thing. I'll guarantee you every guy in that house would wish Brother Howells could take it from him. If I said I need a dollar bill, I'll guarantee every young man in this room would love to give Brother Jack Howells a dollar bill. Well, if my Creator needs a tongue, he can have this one. If my Creator needs hands, he can have these. If my Creator needs feet, he can have these. Blessed God, I'm glad he arranged it so he needs them. Christ in you. That's the only hope he has for glory. Ask you a question. Anybody see his glory lately where you work? They don't come to church. They don't hear me glorify him here. Anybody seen him where you work lately? Huh? Anybody seen his glory where you go to school? Or you listen to this garbage and filth and lie about you just supposed to be quiet and don't be overly pious and don't be always talking about your religion. Show me a verse for that, please. The only hope he has at your school for glory is for you to let him have your body. And the only hope that God has for glory in the steel mills, in the shops, in the stores, in the offices. Somebody has got to say, Christ, live through me. That's the only hope he has for glory where you work and where you go to school. I am so sick of this weak-kneed Christianity, I don't know what to do. I'm so sick of these little preacherettes getting up, preaching little sermonettes to a bunch of Christianettes on Sunday morning after they have an octet and a sextet and a quartet. And I'm so sick of that. And they go out and they stand up and say, well, you don't have to be talking about it. Just live it. Well, now you show me a scripture for that. Bible doesn't say go into all the world, live the gospel of every creature. It says go into all the world and preach it. God needs a tongue. God needs a body. God needs some hands. I'm not asking you to do it. You know this is true. I never asked you for a thing. Not a thing. I come to an anniversary here. I don't want any public honor. I want you to give him the honor. I don't ask you to do one solitary thing for me. Never have asked for a raise, never will. Never take it if you offered one. Never have, never will. I'm not concerned about that. But I am so hungry in my soul for the people that I call my people. I'm so hungry in my soul for you to let Jesus have your hands and let Jesus have your tongue and let Jesus have your eyes and stop to realize that he who made you, he who loves you, he who died for you, he needs you. I don't understand you not letting him have you. I don't understand it. He needs you. Christ in you, the hope of his glory. You know what he's talking about? Talking about a Duke Morales, reared over here at Boys Town, off Highway 30 there, Klein Avenue, I think it is. And then over here at this Carmel Light Home, North Hammond, nothing, knows nothing hardly about his past, his parents, reared as a poor little ragamuffin kid, and somebody in the First Baptist Church got interested in him. God comes down and says, son, you don't have to be a blue blood or you don't have to be pedigreed for me to use you. Just let me have your body, Duke. And Duke goes out to Howells Anderson College and gets his degree, and now he's on the staff at Howells Anderson College. That's what glorifies God. And God comes this morning and God says, I can save, but I need a body. I can't save without your body. You've got to go tell it. And God's hands are tied. Can you see, can you feel the heart of God? Don't you understand what I'm saying? You parents, can't you understand what I'm saying? Can you imagine the great heart of God wanting to save, able to save, died to save, rose to save, and says, I can't save. I have no way to show forth that glory. Unless somebody lets Christ come in. That's the hope of my glory. God comes this morning and says, I can heal, but I need a body. The hope of my glory is Christ in you. God says, I can build churches, but I need a body. I can save nations, but I need a body. I can feed the hungry, but I need a body. He says, I saved you to glorify myself, but I need a body. He didn't say what kind of body he needed. He didn't say if he needed a big body, broad shoulders, and muscle-bound biceps. Just a few of us have that. He didn't say that. He didn't say what size body he needed. He didn't say what shape body he needed. He just said, I need a body. I need a body. That's why we're called the body of Christ. He has no body. He has no hands. He says, I need to be glorified. He deserves the glory. Someday you'll have it. Well, I can't wait. I just can't wait. He takes over every radio station in America. And the soap operas will be called General Jesus. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait till you turn on Channel 7 and the soap opera will be As the Savior Turns. I can't wait till you turn on at night and you'll find the Jesus Carson Show. I can't wait. I can't wait till every heathen pagan who denies his name, who's taken this Bible and torn it to pieces and said it's not true, bows down and confesses that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I can't wait. I can't wait till this old sin-cursed public education program, Jesus says, put me out of your schools. I'm here. Put me out. I'd like to see him walking Hammond High down here. Just walk in. Says, get the Constitution. Jesus says, we've got a new Constitution.
Separation church and state. Separation church and state.
Can't keep you in here. He says, put me out. They shoot him and the bullet bounces off his chest. Yeah. Put me out. Bless God, he someday will come back in his glory to receive the glory he rightly deserves. He won't be riding on the foal of an ass in Jerusalem while folks preparing 7 days to crucify him. He'll come on a white horse as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to establish his kingdom. He won't come wearing a crown of thorns that pierce his brow and calls his face to the bloody. He'll come wearing a crown with diadems and jewels and diamonds, and he'll be King of Kings. He won't come wearing a borrowed soldier's overcoat. He'll come wearing the robe of honor. He won't come holding a walking stick as a mock scepter. He'll come holding a scepter of glory in his hand and put down the Antichrist and the kingdoms of this world by his own blessed word. And Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does his successive journeys run. His kingdom shall spread from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. Hallelujah! He is going to reign! And he is going to get the glory he deserves. But for now, he's not here. I'm his only hope. Christ in me. His hope of glory. I don't know what you're going to do. But I'm going to let him have mine. He can have my tongue. He can have what life these hands have left. He can have however many beats this old heart has left. He can have how many ever steps these feet have yet to walk. He can have ever how many tears these eyes have to shed. He can have how many days this life and body has to live. Because I want him to get glory. He deserves it. Christ in me. That's the only hope he has for glory. Our Heavenly Father.